welcome to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Here is your host, Chris Tatro.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. I am very excited today to have three of some of my favorite people here at the podcast. They've all been on our podcast before, and several individuals got to meet them at our last year's winter banquet here in Minnesota. Today, we have Liz Collin with Alpha News joining us. We have Melissa Bachman with Winchester Deadly Passion and Aaron Slater, owner of Relentless Defender. So I greatly thank all of you for rescheduling. I had a mishap about a month ago with some medical stuff and had to reschedule everyone. And I know everyone has an incredibly busy schedule. And so I thank you all for being able to get all onto the podcast once more and rescheduling everything. So thank you very much. Thanks for being here. I just want to kind of go around the horn, see how everyone's doing. What's new with you? We'll start with Liz.
Well, Chris, first of all, glad you're okay. Thank you for having me back. You know, never know how you guys are. You like to face whatever's in front of you. And, you know, sometimes, you know, insects can take you down, my friend. So glad you're all right. But yeah, it's been a busy summer, and certainly still appreciate you asking me to be a part months ago of the banquet. It was really incredible, and excited to come back on and talk about it.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, no, appreciate you coming back. And I know you've been busy, got a lot going on there. I think you're filming a documentary right now.
Yeah, actually, we're in the process of doing all that based on the book I put out in October called They're Lying. This is called The Fall of Minneapolis. It's people who've come forward to share their story after what happened in May of 2020. And we're putting that together, and we'll release it for free in October. So we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, please do. I know a lot of people like to follow you and follow your story. And I don't know, that's awesome. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. Melissa, congratulations in order.
Thank you very much. And again, I'm glad you're okay. Yes, the last time you guys saw me, I was about 8 months pregnant, 8.5 months pregnant, had a little girl. She's been absolutely wonderful. Hasn't really slowed our family down at all. She's gets to travel all over, go to baseball games, go on hunting trips, go turkey hunting. She's been all over the place, and she's just a wonderful little girl. And I had a great time out at the event that you guys had. The banquet was phenomenal, and appreciate you having me there, and appreciate you having me on the podcast again as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is your third time back too, so that's pretty cool. And yeah, you did a great job at the banquet, both of you, Liz and Melissa. We had a lot of compliments, and I know people really enjoyed having conversations with you and getting to know you a bit better, and a lot of good feedback on that, so I appreciate it. Hey, Slater, I haven't seen you since police week. How you been?
I've been doing great. Again, it's been nothing but travel. So since your banquet, I've been all over the place. But yeah, police week was great, and glad to get to see you there. And ultimately, I have a small little break in between travel. I leave again Thursday and go to more conferences.
Is that what you're doing mostly, just conferences around the place?
Yeah, well, between conferences and my son competing in Taekwondo all over the nation, really.
Well, that's cool.
It is. That's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, thanks for coming to the podcast today. And I know you had a lot going on, and you said you're on the road quite a bit, so I really appreciate it. I did have another question for you about the banquet, Slater. So this year, you actually was your first time attending. And I know that we've worked together for many years here with you doing our apparel, amongst other things, and networking. And you know, we finally got you to come up and be able to participate and see everything that we do and everything that we showcase. Do you want to talk about like what you experienced and what the travel was like and just being at the banquet in general?
Yeah, let me kind of set the tone first. I get invited to nonprofit banquets and fundraisers all the time, everywhere. And honestly, and there's no way that we can get vested into each and every single nonprofit that comes to us, even the ones that we have relationships with that we do apparel for. I still got to be honestly a little bit picky and choosy about what it is, because there's just not enough time in the day, and not enough time in the week or month or year. And then on top of it, I think everybody on this podcast and everybody that listens knows that not every nonprofit is equal. They're not always equal. They their mission may be intended to be great, but it's not run necessarily in the best ways. And I've come across it many times. And you and I and Hometown Heroes and Relentless Defender have had a relationship for quite a while now. You kept inviting. And it was one of those things where I was like, man, Minnesota, that's just far from Houston, Texas.
It is.
It is. So it was one of those deals where I said, you know what? Let me find out what they're about. And I got the opportunity to come up there. And I can honestly tell you that I didn't have, and I'm just being upfront, I didn't have extremely high expectations about what the banquet was going to be about, what the mission was going to be about. I knew all about it, of course. But to actually experience it, I gained an entirely new perspective of what Hometown Hero Outdoors does. And I will forever, as much as I possibly can, forever be re-going to that banquet from this point forward. I can tell you that.
That's awesome. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, it was awesome to get you up there and see you. And then be able to meet a lot of our volunteers too. I know they hear me talk about you all the time, and you know, I got to come visit with you down in at your headquarters there. Man, it's probably been 2 years almost now. So them to actually be able to shake your hand and get to know you. And then you also sit on the National Law Enforcement Memorial Association board. So you have a pretty big role there, and we had a lot of law enforcement there and they got to meet you as well. And I appreciate you coming up. And there was one thing you did too in the banquet that I thought was pretty cool was we're doing our live auction. And you walked up to me and you actually had donated some custom apparel shirts that people could bid on. How many shirts did you donate? Was it like two sets of 150 shirts? Is that what, right?
It was two sets of 100 shirts, but 100 yeah, shirts. But honestly, it's one of those things where you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? I'm attending this thing. But now I want to have a vested interest in it and I want to be a part of it. And I can tell you that if you haven't experienced that type of fundraiser, it's not the fundraiser that catches your emotion. It's the actual results of the fundraiser that catches your emotion. And you guys did that very, very well, better than a lot of nonprofits do. But more so, your follow through is extraordinary to show what you're doing with the money, what it is what lives are being affected with it and that type of stuff is what really, in my opinion, matters when it comes down to a fundraiser.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, we work really hard to try to have the transparency and show people where their money's going, you know, and I think that's one of the main reasons we have people come back to helping us and supporting us when it comes to financials, but also donating trips and adventures and stuff like that. It's just, it's the transparency and being able to show everyone exactly what we've been up to and how we're doing it. So no, I appreciate it. So Melissa was our guest keynote speaker of the evening and did a phenomenal job. You were on the stage for what, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, for me, I love going to events, but my favorite part is meeting all the people there. I really believe you guys have some of the most wonderful people you could ever find. And being able to not only get up on stage and do a keynote speech, but to be able to meet each person individually, to meet the volunteers, to go do the events, to me, that's what it's all about. And I really, really enjoyed it and think you just have a wonderful group of people there from start to finish.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'd be remiss to leave out that you actually went and attended the VIP event with Silencer Central at Best Defense Army and Range. I know Slater got to go there as well. Liz, you had another speaking obligation, but I know these two went. So talk about that and how it went. And I know you have a really good relationship with Silencer Central.
Yeah, it was just a fun place to go and to meet up with everybody. Very relaxed environment, beautiful shooting range. They had a separate area where they had food. You could shoot, you could mingle. And I just think it's so nice for people to be able to take a little downtime, ask questions, tell you their story, learn more about them. And I think that you really get to know people a lot better. And then the next day when they see you speak or they come and talk to you again, you really feel like you have a connection and you've met them several times now. So I think that's really important. And for me, I absolutely love it. I'm a people person and enjoy meeting all these different people all around the country.
Yeah, totally. And then you had a pretty good presentation about just your life and your family life. Could you just give the listeners a little sneak peek of what that looked like?
Yeah, what I try to do is try to bring, you know, unity into any type of event that I'm going to, whether it's the outdoors, just getting people out together. And I think family structures are really important and spending that time together. And in some families, maybe not everybody hunts or not everybody shoots, but it's really good to show some of those benefits beyond filling your freezer, what hunting can do for a family or what hunting can do for a community or for a person. So that's a lot of what I talk about and how we can kind of support each other. And, you know, some of the best medicine is getting outdoors and experiencing some sunshine and doing that with loved ones. So that's really the message I try to send, is to get families together, to get friends out there together, to do that, to enjoy nature and to reap the benefits of hunting as well.
No, totally. No, it was well received. I know a lot of individuals came up to me afterwards and thought it was fantastic. And then I also really enjoy getting to talk to you one-on-one, how interactive you are. You know, and I'll say it since day one when I got to meet you out at in Sioux Falls, when I asked you who your agent was and you handed me a card and said, it's me, just call me. Like, it just resonated through everything from day one all the way through today. Just your personability. Is that the right word? Yeah. Right? No. Liz, you correct me. You're the reporter.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
just being able to be approachable and have conversations with you and being able to relate. And people really enjoyed that. So I appreciate you doing that, being approachable. So thank you. And Liz, what were your thoughts? I know that you were only introduced to us, you know, a few months prior to us hosting the banquet. I know we had a couple meetings, and we know that you're well versed with what happens in the law enforcement world, you know, not only through your career, but also your husband's. And you got to come and kind of see what we do. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, going into it, I knew of you guys just a bit, and I was, you know, not really sure what to expect. I'm like, this is a cool group. They get together and hunt and fish. I can get behind that. But I was blown away really at the whole evening. The testimonials were just so powerful. To hear everyone's story, and everyone there really did have a story. I too thought Melissa is just so personable. She was super fun to get to know and hear about her family and story as well. But I mean, the Eric Mattson trailer unveiling was completely incredible. So to witness that, and I don't want to give too much away, but you know, he was awarded something there, you know, at the banquet, everything that, you know, he was.
Oh, you can talk about it. Everyone knows that.
On the hunting trip. Yeah. Just in case, you know, people weren't aware, but it was, I don't think there was, you know, not a dry eye in the house, at all. So, and you know, it seems to be, you know, this profession continues to be under attack, you know, when it comes to law enforcement. I mean, just on Friday with the tragic, passing of Officer Waleen, who is a Minnesota native in Fargo, North Dakota, you know, just on the job for 3 months. But, you know, to come together and, you know, be reminded that people do care about law and order and about really honoring our heroes, because in my opinion, that's who they are. So, you know, it kind of restores your faith in humanity a bit.
Yeah, it's been a rough few months, you know, across the country for law enforcement in general, but Minnesota and Wisconsin, North Dakota, in the most recent months, you know, we had two officers killed over in Wisconsin not too long ago, and then a deputy in Wisconsin as well, Deputy Owens up in northwest Minnesota, and the three officers just shot in Fargo. It's been a rough run. It's unfortunate. But for those of you that don't know, too, at the banquet, you know, we do a person of the year annually. And this year we actually awarded it to one of our veterans, Brent Fowler. He was actually the recipient of a moose hunt that we went in on Maine. And if you have not watched this story, I implore you to head over to our YouTube and watch that. It's about 15 to 20 minutes long, but you really dig into his life and all of the healing and the trauma he's been through from that, the healing that he's gone through because of the trauma. And it's very moving to kind of hear his message about who he is, what he's been through, and the things that have helped him. And then also encouraging others to be able to go outside into the outdoors and take that step, even if they don't think they deserve it. That's a little bit of a stigma that a lot of us go through in either of these professions, law enforcement, military, as a firefighter, EMS, is we always don't think that we're deserving of it. And somebody else is always worse. In reality, a lot of us or a lot of people do deserve it. And we just got to take that first step. And then it gives us the ability to help people further as well. You know, and I know Slater with your law enforcement career, would you be able to talk about some of these mental health hurdles that people have seen in the law enforcement world?
Yeah, in fact, I just put a class on this week about mental health and stress management. I started in 97. I was a police officer, started in 97. And when I started, we didn't talk about mental health. We never talked about mental health. We never talked about, you know, the things that we're going through. And one of the things that has changed, I think, over the years is it's not taboo to talk about it anymore. In fact, it's encouraged to talk about it. And I think that's a very, very important aspect that we need to embrace. And especially now, more so than ever, we've talked about officers that have been killed in line of duty. But we're having a huge, huge, huge epidemic of officers committing suicide. And unfortunately, a lot of that should be minimized and can be minimized, in my opinion, based on the ability to get therapy and based on ability to get counseling. And I think we need to do a better job of looking at that and really just attacking that problem head on. There's a lot of other great nonprofits out there in the world that do just that, and I work with many of them, and they're very sincere and they're very passionate about what they do. But I think more so than anything, we do need to work on making sure that every single officer knows that there is a place that they can turn to reduce really the probability and possibility of the increased suicide amount.
Yeah, and that's the focus of what we do. Everything that we surround ourselves by with HHO is to help with mental health and reduce that and give people an outlet. I know everyone hears me talk about assist training in every podcast, but I'll keep talking about it just so people know. You might be a new listener, you might be a long-time listener, but our field staff are being trained in applied suicide intervention skills training, which allows for them to be able to have resources and the ability to talk to people and when they're in a time of crisis. So if you're having a dark day, the relationships and bonds that they build in the outdoors with us, they can call us and reach out to us if they're having a hard time. The biggest thing that we're trying to develop after this is follow-up resources after that, which is something that we're working on. That's actually part of the conversation we had with today with Mike the Cop and Call for Backup and other nonprofits that are like that.
And let me add this, Chris.
Yeah.
I think why your organization is so unique is because getting somebody outside of their comfort zone and outside of their world, get them into the wilderness and get them into or out of it and into something else that is completely away from everything. And one of the things that I truly enjoy about wilderness, I was born in Missoula, Montana. So to me, that's God's country. It's
totally,
you can't get any more closer to God than when you look at that and you sit there and say, you know what, this is real. This is what, if you're not believing that there's something bigger than us, then go to Montana. Okay. And you'll understand how sincere and how big the world really is. And it can't be anything but God. So when you do that with an organization like yours, I think it separates them from all of the issues, the drama, all these things that's going on with them. And something about being away from your phone, something about being in the wilderness, something about just being a part of that is probably in many ways, and being with peers is many ways can be bigger and better therapy than, you know, doctors and a couch to sit on and tell your problems. That is what's different about yours. And I think that it's super powerful to understand that this is what the veterans are needing. This is what the police officers are needing. It gets them in an environment, you know, that they can share and not withhold and just be open about it. And to me, that's one of the hardest things to get a police officer or a veteran to be able to do is just break down that wall. And I think by doing that, absolutely, it does it very, very, very well.
Yeah, it's getting them off the couch in the outdoors. You know, the outdoors is the conduit, the vehicle that gets that relationship built for opening up. And, you know, there's definitely a place for professional mental health and, you know, seeing people at that point. If it's something that's beyond our capability, totally needs it, you know, but the being able to establish and build that relationship for that follow-up, definitely. And that's, you hit a spot in the head. I think that's exactly everything we're trying to do, you know, just get people to break down those barriers, those walls, and be comfortable and be around like-minded people and say it's okay to talk about the things that I've been through or they've been through. And I share a lot of my own experiences right out of the gate, and people are like, oh, you're talking about that? Absolutely. You know, it's okay to talk about it. You know, it's okay. You know, it's just, but it is rewarding, you know, over time to be able to see people see that and then also turn around and use it themselves with others when we see them on maybe multiple outdoor trips that we do.
We'll return to the podcast in just a moment. But first, Hometown Hero Outdoors would like to thank the following companies that support HHO and our mission. Relentless Defender Apparel and Gear, Silencer Central Suppressors, Best Defense Armory and Range in Forest Lake, Minnesota, and Tito's Handmade Vodka. We thank them for their support. Now, back to our podcast.
You know, one statistic that just came out recently that was kind of shocking to me and unfortunate at the same time is the military puts out their numbers per quarter when it comes to suicides in the armed services, and it's up in the first quarter this year from the previous year, which is terrible. So in the first quarter of 2023, there were 94 soldiers in the active duty component that committed suicide, 18 in the reserves, and 23 in the National Guard. And that's just one quarter. If you think about that in equivalence, that's an entire military company to some extent that was lost due to suicide in the first quarter, you know. And it's tough just because, you know, we're out there trying to do the things we do, and it's just something that you feel like you can never help enough, no matter what you do, and which is difficult. But at the same time, you do get to see the success stories from some people and turning around and helping out others, and very unfortunate deal. But Melissa, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, I know we've talked about outdoor stuff a lot, you know, and being able to do things with kids and introducing children to the outdoors and stuff. But is there anything that you'd like to relate with, you know, maybe personal health on your end, or somebody that that you have affected in a positive mental way when it comes to the outdoors?
Well, I think one thing that's important is we talk about, you know, getting out, like with your group, where you get together with like-minded individuals. But I think it's bigger than that. And like we were talking, it's not only just that instance, it's learning to get back in the groove of that, right? If you sit in a tree stand from dark to dark all day and you have no cell service, you have nothing to do but reflect on things and think things through. And I think that's really important. And I think it's really helpful. And we live in a day and age where cell phones are constantly there. People are constantly in contact with whatever it may be for your work, your family, your job. But hunting or even fishing gives you that opportunity to kind of set all that aside. You have nothing to think about or worry about except for potentially a deer coming through, or, you know, casting your line or tying on hooks or whatever it may be. What's nice is getting people back into the outdoors and knowing that, you know, they just need some time to themselves sometimes and time to refresh. And I've seen that with people. I've taken, I've done some wounded veteran type shows where we took them all spoonbill fishing, for example. And that was a wonderful trip. But what that sometimes can do is get them back hunting. Now they're turkey hunting again. They follow up, you know, years later, and I still get in contact with them, see how their families are doing. You're building those relationships, but you're almost reteaching people to take that time to themselves, to get outdoors, to soak up that sunshine. And I think that self-reflection is really important for anyone, you know, whether you have mental health issues or not. It's a great way to kind of help combat some of it or prevent it too.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's sitting out in the dark, or not in the dark, but waiting for that sun to come up, you know, is probably one of the most therapeutic things, sitting in a tree stand, just waiting and just hearing the birds and the woods and everything wake up is probably one of the most therapeutic things that I have and that I can recall in my life that just hits the reset button for me. But Yeah, totally agree. Liz, I was going to ask you, so I know you're close with law enforcement, obviously, with your husband and all the reporting and stuff. You know, what are some of the mental health implications and issues you've seen throughout your reporting?
Oh, gosh, it's a totally different world now as far as, you know, I guess I'll just talk about even this documentary in and of itself. I think there were 16 interviews in total. And some of these, you know, police officers were trapped in the third precinct, you know, before they went ahead and surrendered it during the riots in 2020. And other cops, you know, they gave, you know, 10, 20, 30 years to the city of Minneapolis. I'm just talking about specifically, but I think this story, you know, a lot of people can relate across the country. But you know, to see what's happened in some of these cities is heartbreaking. These are people who signed up to protect and serve. And, you know, not many people are going to do that, give their life, you know, lay their life on the line, you know, over and over again. But just to see how politics, sadly, has played such a role and pushed them out of this career that many of them live for, it's very emotional. I caught myself actually crying several times, and I try not to do that in interviews, but you can, you know, certainly feel just how sickened and saddened they are by what's been allowed to happen. I'll just say on a personal level, with when it comes to the outdoors, and I grew up in a family of fishermen, and I would always fish. I never did the hunting trips with my dad. But my son, now I'm watching him. He's now 10, but I'll say that, and I'm very anti cell phone in my house. I'll be honest, Anthony, I always tell him he's going to be 30 by the time I let him get a cell phone. But you know, a lot of his friends are at that age now where they're connected. You know, and I'm proud of him because he actually sees it in his own friends, just being out to go out and fish and have conversations. My dad, you know, takes him fishing a lot, especially during the summer and such, and they solve all the world's problems out on a boat together. But I think it's really, you know, as Melissa talks about too, just a way to form relationships and you know, have memories for a lifetime that really, you know, you can't put a price on such a thing.
I totally agree. I know it's awesome about the fishing with your son too, though. I mean, that's a huge thing, getting them hooked young. My 12-year-old boy Abel and my daughter Brecken, who's 8, really into fishing right now too. So I think we're sitting in the same boat. So maybe we need to figure out a day and get everyone to go fishing together since we don't live too far apart.
I love that. And do they have phones? If they do, don't tell my kid. If they do, that's it.
We'll just hide that, and I'll tell my kid to keep it quiet. There's just one of them that does, and I wish he didn't have one, but it's the way of the world sometimes.
I know.
Yeah, we'll get hooked up and go fishing on the St. Croix River one of these days. My neighbor's got a boat here that he's going to let me use, so we should figure that out.
That'd be great.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, so today's podcast wasn't intended to be incredibly long. You know, I just wanted to touch base with everyone, check in and say hello, and say thank you for your time and your efforts for coming to the banquet, supporting us, and making the night enjoyable, getting to be personal with other individuals that were there, and spreading the word, and then also for the discussions that happened after the banquet and maybe who you've spoken with about HHO after the fact. So, but I'm going to wrap it up at this point. Does anyone have any final comments or anything they have to say? All right. Well, thank you all very much. I appreciate you. We're going to let everyone know that if you're feeling that you're having some dark times and there is something that you need to discuss, feel free to reach out to HHO. We can always get you in touch with one of our field staff or someone who's a certified and assist. And there's also the National Suicide Prevention line that is 988. It's called 988. You can get in touch with someone that can help you. But other than that, we will see you next time on the Hometown Hero Outdoors podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Hometown Hero Outdoors podcast. For more information, visit our website at hometownherooutdoors.org.